Beginning this May, all 10th graders attending public schools in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts will be required to pass the Massachusetts Comprehensive Assessment System test in order to graduate. But what does this test mean, and what effects does high-stake testing have on children? Dr. David Stratman is an educational consultant and former Washington director of the National Parent-Teacher Association, and he says there's much reason for concern.
MCAS stands for the Massachusetts Comprehensive Assessment System. It's a test, a so-called high-stakes test, which is imposed on kids in the 4th, 8th, and 10th grades for public school children in Massachusetts. We call it high-stakes because beginning in this May of 2001, if 10th graders do not pass that test, then they will not receive a high school diploma. And the reason I call the talk, why are we doing this to our children? I believe that the MCAS test is very destructive. I think it's designed to cause lots of kids to fail. It tests children on above their grade level. For example, the fourth grade reading test tests kids at a seventh grade level. So lots of children, 40% of the kids around the state, fail on this. The question to me that's so important is, why would such a destructive test be imposed on young people? And I think the answer to that is that the people who are behind MCAS are the most powerful corporate forces in our state and in the country: the Federal Reserve Bank, the Massachusetts Business Roundtable, Intel, IBM, Fleet Bank, and other corporate forces who, I believe, have the goal of causing many young people to drop out of school and creating lowering the expectations of many, many kids so that they will fit into their place in a society that's becoming more unequal and less democratic.
Can you maybe give a little bit of a background of what the history is that's leading up to this present situation we're in with MCAS?
Well, MCAS is part of the 1993 Education Reform Act in Massachusetts, but similar tests have been imposed in 27 states, and similar education reform has happened in 49 states. The background of corporate-led education reform, I think, is it goes back to the late 70s. And such things as the Tuition Tax Credit Act and other measures intended to privatize public education and disequalize educational resources, further disequalize education in the United States. This intensified in the 1980s with such measures as a Nation at Risk report and legislation that was undertaken in many different states to further disequalize educational opportunity.
Over the past few years, we've seen the privatization of formerly public social services, most recently prisons, and now public schools. Many have viewed this latest trend, this last trend especially, of schools as especially troublesome. What are, maybe you could voice some of their concerns and explain how MCAS fits into that picture.
Yes, the public education system in the United States, for all its faults, I think it's been really at the center of democratic life in our country. And the public schools of any given town have been the principal focus of people's discussion of a common good and discussion of the future of our children. Now, privatization is a direct attack on the notion of a common good. Instead of people coming together to figure out how to make things better for our kids, instead, privatization substitutes for that competition of individual parents to get their kid into the right school, competition to see that my kid is the best, or does the best, or gets the most opportunity. This is very destructive of democracy, I think. It's very destructive of any glimmer of equality in our society. And I think it really weakens people's ability to control their lives, because if we're all fighting to see who's going to get what, then the truly powerful forces in our society, the corporate forces, have that much more control. MCAS, I think, is designed, MCAS and the other corporate education reforms like merit pay for teachers, or the end of tenure for teachers, or school-to-work programs, or privatization itself. I think that all of these reforms are intended to intensify what was already the problem with the public school system. That is, it intensifies competition and stratification. I think that the public school system does need substantial reform, but the reform should go in the opposite direction. The reform should go towards greater cooperation to see that our children succeed and greater equality in the public schools.
David Stratman, you're the former National Parent Teachers Association, so you're familiar with educational institutions across the country. I know you mentioned briefly that there are parallels to MCAS across the country and also around the world.
Yes, 27 states already have imposed a high-stakes test similar to MCAS. 49 of the 50 states have corporate designed education reform programs, including high standards and other elements that I think are destructive. And I mentioned today that I was speaking at a conference in Mexico a couple of years ago, and I was astonished to hear speeches from heads of teacher unions from 8 different countries, and each of them described precisely the same things happening in their own countries. That is, education reform that consisted, number one, of privatization of public education, number two, the imposition of high-stakes tests, and number three, the changing of traditional education into job training, school to work.
Could you speak about your experience with the Minnesota Business Partnership and how that relates to MCAS?
Yes, I work as an educational consultant, and I was hired in 1985 by the Minnesota Education Association to design a long-range plan for the union, but also to help it defeat the Minnesota Business Partnership Education Reform Plan. Now, the Business Partnership Reform Plan was the most sophisticated education reform plan at the time, and it had a number of different destructive elements. But the principal one, or the key to it, was that it would have changed the K through 12, the kindergarten through 12th grade education system, into a K through 10 system, so that at the end of the 10th grade, all the students would leave school with a certificate of completion, I believe it was called, and then the top 20% would have been invited back to complete their education and get a high school diploma. Now, the business partner, and incidentally, Minnesota at the time had the highest school completion rate in the country. So 91% of Minnesota young people completed 12th grade, completed high school, and a high proportion went on to further education. So the Minnesota Business Partnership said that the goal of its reform plan was to give young people more personal flexibility. And we said, no, that's not the real goal. The goal is to drive tens of thousands of young people out of high school without a diploma so that the only jobs they can get is flipping hamburgers or working in the stockyards. We were able to defeat that plan because it was so outrageous. But I think that MCAS and the high-stakes tests, which exist in these other states and here, are designed to accomplish the same thing as that K through 10 program was. That is to say, they're designed to drive a huge proportion of kids out of school in the 10th grade, to increase the pool of cheap labor, to lower these young people's expectations, and to force everyone to toe the line and to accept their role in a society that's becoming more unequal and less democratic. Very shortly, New Democracy is going to be in a position to call for a program that we're calling Mass Refusal, as we're encouraging a mass refusal by teacher union locals to administer the test, mass refusal by parents to allow their children to take the test, and mass refusal by 10th grade students to take the test themselves.
So there's certainly a lot of opposition to MCAS, but on the other hand, who specifically is in support of MCAS? Who, specific corporations or individuals?
Well, the most powerful organized force promoting MCAS, aside from the Department of Education and and education officials in the state legislature is an organization called Mass Insight. Mass Insight consists of the Massachusetts Business Roundtable, the Massachusetts Board of Real Estate, and many of the most powerful corporations in the state and in the country. I believe I already mentioned the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston is co-chair of Mass Insight. Boston Edison, Fleet Bank, Intel, IBM, State Street Bank, many other large corporations are part of Mass Insight. The Boston Globe has been probably the most vigorous promoter of MCAS in the state. And I think it's important to realize that because some people have said, well, this is just a right-wing problem or something like that, or it's not true at all. These corporations that I mentioned are right at the center of our society, the most powerful. And the Boston Globe is the most liberal newspaper in the nation, and they are the most vigorous supporters of MCAS.
And how do those corporations and banks profit from MCAS?
I don't believe that they profit from MCAS. I believe that MCAS assists them in the long-term goal of social control, because what MCAS does is it says to a whole generation of people that we have standards, we have erected standards which you have to meet. And it tells so far 40% of our kids who have taken MCAS have failed it. It says that you don't make the grade. So I think MCAS has to be understood in its social context. And its social context is a society that has become increasingly unequal in the last 25 years. I think the background of MCAS and of education reform generally is that in the 1960s, there was, in the United States and around the world, there was a tremendous revolutionary upsurge. We know in the States, for example, there was a powerful movement against the Vietnam War. There was a powerful civil rights movement, a powerful movement for social equality of men and women, of black and white, a very powerful rank-and-file labor movement. And in other countries, France, 10 million workers occupied their factories. Czechoslovakia, ordinary people fought Soviet tanks in the streets. There was a revolutionary upsurge around the world, and the leaders of, the corporate and political leaders decided that the best way to deal with a revolution of rising expectations was to try to lower people's expectations. In 1972, the CEOs of the 200 largest corporations in the country met for a week in Washington, D.C., and they formed the Business Roundtable with the express purpose of going on the counteroffensive against labor and against all these social movements. I think that the social policies and economic policies that we have endured for the last 25 years, for example, the shipping of so many jobs overseas, laws like NAFTA, the computerization of work, the slashing of social programs or slashing of unemployment or food stamps or welfare reform, all these things are designed, I think, to make people feel more insecure, make them feel more vulnerable, and make them more subject to social control, to top-down, undemocratic control, and that's what MCAS is part of.
So what, in your opinion, should be the goal of education?
Well, I think that education is basically going to be for one of two goals. I think our choices come down to two. One choice is to prepare kids to fit the needs of the corporations, to fit into the world under which they have no control. That's the way our education, or that's the goal, I think, of the powerful people trying to affect education policy now. The alternative, I believe, is what I call education for democracy. That is, to encourage our young people to understand their world and to change it. And that's the direction I think education reform should be going.
And what is, in your opinion, the answer to MCAS?
Well, I think that MCAS, the immediate answer to MCAS is we have to stop MCAS and we have to change the schools. We have to change the schools in a direction of greater equality, greater cooperation, greater support for teachers and kids to succeed at the work of education. The larger answer to MCAS, I think, is this. MCAS is really a kind of window into our society. And if you look through that window, I think you can see that on one side of our society, there's very, very powerful people, corporations and political leaders and the masters of great wealth. And they value competition and inequality and control from above. And on the other hand, other side of that conflict, I think, stand most people, ordinary people, who believe in support for each other, they believe in commitment to each other, they believe in equality and control from below. New Democracy, the organization of which I'm part, is trying to build a revolutionary movement that says that we have to win this battle for the direction of our society. We have to transform our society to make it fulfill the vision of what human society and what democracy could be like.
Dr. David Stratman is the former Washington director of the National Parent Teachers Association and the founder of an organization called New Democracy. He was interviewed Sunday, February 11th at the Community Church of Boston. For more info on MCAS and New Democracy, call David Stratman at 617-524-4073. That's 617-524-4073, or visit the New Democracy webpage on the internet at www.newdemocracyworld.org. Reporting from Boston, this is Scott Gurian.